In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul, one of the most influential Jewish apostles of Jesus, writes a few passionate words to the believers in Corinth, connecting their new life in Jesus to another equally important event within their faith history called the Passover. It reads, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven," Paul referring to their sin in their past life, "that you may be a new lump," meaning a new creation in God. "Since you are truly unleavened," meaning without sin because of Jesus' work on the cross, "for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." As a modern follower of Jesus, have you ever thought about the importance of Passover? Just what is Passover, and why should it be important to me today, you may be asking? And how is Passover and Jesus related? Well, let's talk about it.
Welcome to the Jesus for Israel podcast, where we discuss all things related to Jesus, the Bible, Israel, and the end times.
Now, the biblical feast of Passover is coming our way once again this year. And across the world, Jews and Christians are remembering the Passover and the biblical episode of the Exodus. So what is the Passover exactly? What is it? Well, Passover, also known as Pesach in Hebrew, is one of the most important Jewish celebrations that remembers how God saved his people, the nation of Israel, from over 400 years of slavery in Egypt. This event reminds Israel and the world, year after year, of how they became a nation and how the knowledge of God has covered the globe. Today, through much adversity and countless historical encounters with other Pharaoh-like enemies, this same people, through the grace and unbreakable promises of God, still exists in our world. Today, the ongoing existence of the nation of Israel is a testament to the undeniable reality that the God of the Bible is real and his word is true, even for us today. In the days of the Exodus, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, refused to free the children of Israel from slavery. As a result, God sent 9 plagues upon Egypt and the gods that they worshipped. When Pharaoh still refused to set Israel free, God promised to send a 10th and final plague that would humble Pharaoh, moving him to finally let Israel go. The night before Israel was delivered from their slavery, God commanded them to take a lamb without any blemishes or imperfections. God then commanded them to slaughter the lamb and apply its blood to the doorposts of their houses. Now, this later would be known as the Passover lamb. Now, doing this would spare their firstborn from the last plague that God would bring against Pharaoh because of his rebellion against God. In the episode of the Exodus, God promised that death would pass over those who had the blood on their doorposts. Let's briefly look at this biblical account in the Bible. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. It reads, "Now tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast, the rising agent. Now this is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand." In other words, be ready to leave very quickly. It goes on to say, "Eat it in hurry. It is the Lord's Passover." Verse 12, "Now on the same night, I," God speaking, "will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals of Egypt, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate or remember for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Amazing. Now the children of Israel in Egypt followed God's command and kept the Passover. They had faith in God and in his power to protect and to save them. However, none of the Egyptians did so. They did not listen to God's warning. As a result, God's judgment came upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. The night the firstborn sons of Egypt, and that night, excuse me, the firstborn sons of Egypt, they drew their last breath, just as God said. This dire judgment that followed the nine previous plagues finally changed Pharaoh's heart, and he freed all of Israel from their slavery. From this point on, the Passover would be known generation after generation as the day God mightily saved his people. Passover became the story of God's salvation. And we often look at the patterns in Scripture and connect them to the New Testament. The Passover, as we look very closely, shows us a very clear God pattern of God that would be built upon and connected to Jesus in the New Testament. So why is Passover important to us? For those of you who may be new, who may be getting interested in understanding Passover, why is it important to you as a Christian? Well, Passover is significant to us for a few reasons. Just as the Apostle Paul pointed back to Passover to draw out important truths concerning Jesus' work of salvation on the cross in the scripture we just read in the introduction, we also want to make the point that Passover is a celebration that is an essential part of our own faith history as followers of Jesus. As Christians, you have a faith history. It helps us to understand the salvation of Jesus, not only for Israel, but of course for the whole world. In short, Passover should matter to us because Passover connects us to Jesus. In the Old Testament, when God established Passover, he first did it so the nation of Israel could remember their physical deliverance. As we read the Bible and connect the dots of all of this history, we further discover that God's intention in establishing Passover was also to point the nation of Israel and the world to a greater spiritual deliverance coming in the future through Jesus. Now, Passover pointed to the future event where Jesus, or also known as Yeshua, his name in Hebrew, would willingly be crucified and allow his own blood to be shed for the nation of Israel and the nations of the world in order to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness and slavery to sin and its curse. Now, just as Pharaoh in the days of the Exodus held Israel as slaves, oppressing them and leaving them with no hope of freedom, spiritually, Satan and the kingdom of darkness also held Israel and the nations of the world under great influence, while sin kept us bound and separated from God. Just as God raised up Moses to confront Pharaoh and set Israel free, Jesus, the greater Moses, also confronted Satan. He confronted Satan, the power of sin and death, and overcame them all through his sacrifice, setting Israel and the world free. Just as God commanded for a lamb to be slain during Passover, and his blood then used as a sign of faith in God's deliverance from Pharaoh and from death, God promised that one day he would provide a sinless lamb who would give his blood and life, providing forgiveness of sins for all who would trust in him. Now everyone could experience freedom from Satan, sin, and death, and receive eternal life. Just as Israel, by faith, placed the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorposts of their homes, demonstrating their trust in God's deliverance, today all those who trust in Jesus' work on the cross through the hearing of the gospel are spiritually cleansed, forgiven, and marked with the blood of the true Passover lamb on their hearts, as it's been said. Now, just as the wrath of God passed over Israel and as he moved through the kingdom of Egypt bringing judgment on Pharaoh, today all who repent from their sin and put their trust in Jesus' work on the cross will escape God's final judgment of the wrath of God upon Satan and the unbelieving world. Jesus was the Passover lamb that all other lambs at the Exodus pointed to. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As the prophet John declared when he was in the land of Israel in the Jordan River in John chapter 1, verse 29. The feast of Passover reveals to us God's plan to save and restore the world. Without Passover, without the hundreds of years of history and the inspired words of God recorded and preserved by the nation of Israel, the understanding and impact of who Jesus is, what he has done, and what he will still do in the future still remains hazy and out of reach to many. Today, Jesus for many is still just an impersonal savior, just a good teacher among teachers. Without properly understanding our faith history, there is a danger that Jesus will be reduced to just a mere man dying for a noble cause. To understand Jesus without Passover is to, in a sense, not fully understand what a great salvation and deliverance has actually come to us. Now, another amazing truth to consider about Passover is that it's connected to the new covenant. Did you know that? Many modern Christians today do not realize that when Jesus inaugurated the new covenant, he did so at the Passover. That, quote, Last Supper we all know about, it was actually a Passover meal that Jesus ate with his disciples. This reveals to us yet another important connection to Passover and God's promise of restoration and redemption of the nation of Israel and the world. Listen to Matthew chapter 26, verses 12 through 23. It says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples," meaning Jesus' disciples, "said to Jesus, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?' So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he said to them," the place where they were going to eat, "and they prepared the Passover. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Now assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" And this is referring to his return back to earth to set up his kingdom in the earth. There's going to be rejoicing and feasting. And this is what it is referring to. You can find this in many examples within the prophets. Now, that's not it. The episode of the Exodus contains more prophetic significance as it pertains to the soon return of Jesus and the end of this evil age. In the days before the return of Jesus, the Bible reveals to us that the nation of Israel will take the world stage once again, and that there will be an end-time human figure empowered by Satan, known as the Antichrist, who will try annihilating Israel and all who follow Jesus. During this future time period known as the tribulation, the book of Revelation reveals to us several judgments that God will pour upon the earth, the Antichrist, his kingdom, and all who are loyal to him. Many plagues that mirror many of God's judgments during the time of the Exodus. For example, just as God struck the Nile River in Egypt and it turned to blood, in Revelation chapter 16, verses 3 through 6, we're told about two Jewish witnesses during the time of the tribulation who will have power to turn the waters into blood and pour out other judgments against those who persecuted the people of God. Just as God poured out pestilences, boils, hail mixed with fire, darkness, and so on, in the book of Exodus, as we read, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 2, verse 8, verse 10 through 11, and Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, we see similar judgments poured out on the wicked of mankind, the Antichrist, and on his kingdom. So instead of going from a localized location in Egypt, we see God's judgments poured out on the globe. In the book of Revelation, we're told that God pours out judgments for the purpose of calling people to repentance, to uphold justice, to defend the defenseless, which leads to God's final judgment of all who continue to willingly rebel against him. The Passover also connects us to Israel's final regathering and restoration that will happen at the return of Jesus, another prophetic event. Listen to what Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3 through 8 tells us. It says, I, meaning God, myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I, God, will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is Jesus. In his days, the days of this person, Jesus, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is a term for national Israel. This has not happened yet, but it will when Jesus returns. Now, this is the name by which he will be called, this Messiah, the Lord, our righteous Savior. So then, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the people will no longer say, when this happens, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Instead, they will say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the descendants of Israel out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them. Then they will live in their own land. So we see a final and greater exodus is still yet ahead for the nation of Israel. Now the Bible is clear that just as God would regather Israel, as we read, he would also gather in the nations through Jesus. Isaiah chapter 49 through 6 tells us this. Is it too small a thing for you, meaning his Messiah, to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back of those of Israel I have kept? I will also make you, the Messiah, a light for the nations, the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Now for our conclusion and some final words. In short, again, in summation, Passover is about deliverance. Deliverance from slavery to become God's people. Within the celebration of Passover lies the message of the gospel. Within the event of the resurrection of Jesus lies the revelation that he has crushed the power of death and has guaranteed everlasting life to all those who believe in him. The first Passover event set the pattern of God's mighty deliverance. In the New Testament, Jesus, the spotless Lamb, revealed the meaning of Passover by providing deliverance and redemption for the whole world from sin during this very same event. Remember, he was crucified on Passover? The resurrection of Jesus shows us that he has the power over death. On the cross, Jesus defeated death, the Bible tells us, and his resurrection is our guarantee, those who believe in him, that one day, all who believe in him will be resurrected to a life of glory and peace. One day he is coming to end all physical death and to usher in a new heaven, a new earth, where there will be no dying, no tears, and no sorrow. I hope you enjoyed this brief discussion of Passover. Again, if you're new, understand one of the main principles, truths that we can draw from the celebration of Passover is the good news, again, of salvation. We see God setting an amazing pattern, not only for Israel, but the whole world, of how he is the only one who saves. If you've heard this, if it's convicted you in any way, I just want to let you know. I want to just make this known to you. God loves you. He has a plan for you. It's not an accident that you're listening to this particular live stream or this podcast. He's calling out to you today. With all the events going on in our world, he's calling the whole world, including you, to repent, to humble ourselves, to submit ourselves to his kingship, to his lordship, to be cleansed of our sins, to be reconciled back in relationship to God because sin separated us from him, and to receive the blessing of eternal life. And that is a blessing because when we see so much death happening in the world and war and pain, the promise of eternal life is a promise that can keep us to the very end as we all walk together through this time period of such darkness and pain, and have hope that one day God will make good on all his promises, and he will make good on restoring the world and saving those who believe in him. So put your trust in Jesus today. Just call out to him. Say, Lord, I know that I've sinned against you. I've broken your commandments. Your commandments have separated me from you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe in your work on the cross, that you resurrected from the dead and are alive again, and that you're returning. I submit myself to your Lordship. Lead me and guide me for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, it doesn't stop there. Get in a Bible, read, join a Bible-based teaching assembly that will teach you the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation and help you mature in your relationship with the Lord. It doesn't end there. We still live right now in this time period. For Christians, I want to call out to you to wake up, to wake up from your slumber. For those of us who are looking at the events happening in Israel, we know that the stage is being set for the return of Jesus. And during this time period that we all know that will lead us to the rise of the Antichrist and this time of tribulation, that the Lord will allow this because he's refining his people as well. He's working in all of us. The Bible tells us in many places, but namely in the book of Revelation towards believers, to make our robes white and ready. It's a picture of keeping ourselves pure. In other passages, Jesus would tell his disciples, but the same principle applies to us, to keep our lamps full, to be watchful, to pray. And these events that we're all have walked into after October 7th, this attack on Israel, is another reminder again that Jesus is returning. We're close. We're at the door. So it's a call to you to wake up. As we look at Passover, remember, our Messiah is Jesus. Our Messiah is the Jewish Messiah. And if we have a relationship with Jesus, we also have a relationship with Israel, the Jewish people. So if you don't understand all of the events that are taking place right now between this conflict, I want to encourage you, please get educated. Know first what the Bible says about Israel's purpose and then their prophetic future, which is very important to understand who they are today and what God still will do for them in the future when Jesus returns. And also get to know, familiarizing yourself with the history of what's happening over there. We are called to pray for Israel, to bless Jerusalem. And as we do that, to keep in mind the nations of the world as well that are still under the grip of the enemy. We just came out of Purim, a time, again, that reminds us of how God, even though many may not feel that he's working or may see him, he is always moving. He's never motionless. And the same enemies that have tried to annihilate Israel, wherever they may be found, they are still active today. We saw it clearly yesterday with these rockets that were fired and drones that were fired against Israel, over 300 of them. Thank God many of them were thwarted. But we see that in an instant we can be living life, and then in an instant it can change. And many of us don't know what these events mean. But if you look at the news, if you know what's happening, we've been told quite many times that this will only continue to escalate. And for those of us who have our thumbs on the pulse of what's happening biblically, prophetically, historically, we know that there are other things, turbulent things up ahead. So get ready. Purim and Passover are significant in our year of 2024. If you happen to know anybody who's Jewish, Jewish believers, I want to encourage you, try to join them for Passover if possible. If not, pray for them during Passover. Because while everyone's anticipating this event of Passover and what it means, how God delivered his people, we know that there's going to be a ramp up, an attempt and a ramp up of attacks against Israel, the Jewish people, wherever they may be found. As we learned during Purim, that there's a time for us where people are quiet, and if people are quiet, then the enemy can overcome. Our lesson is, in our day, to not be silent, to share the truth about what's happening in the Middle East, to share the truth about who Jesus is and the blessings of the gospel, the blessings of salvation. Our job in 2024 is to be God's mouthpiece, to not be silent. So wake up, be ready. There's still much more ahead. I hope you enjoyed this. Share it if it blessed you. Stay blessed.